Hello everyone, welcome back to the Super Gusty podcast. It's been a while. I think the last one was Australia Coronation Beach Virtual World Tour. But we are back with a bang here to talk about our thoughts on the latest EFPT competition that went down in Austria recently. Sam, how are you doing? It's been a while.
Yeah, mate. Good to be back on the podcast. It has been a while. I think actually Leonard was our last one.
Oh, yes.
Can't remember, but that was one of my favourites. So it sticks in my mind. But yeah, no, it's been good. We've both been quite busy. George, you've been in South Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Just got back to the motherland of Vasiliki, and I've been saving away trying to start a business. So we haven't had much time, but we're back, guys. Been really motivated by watching the EFPT event in Podersdorf. Really, really cool to see freestyle windsurfing back in a competitive light. So we're going to do a little highlights, lowlights, run you guys through the fantasy. We hope that you guys enjoyed and got involved with the fantasy. We were pretty happy with the turnout for the first event.
Yes, 70 odd people. So pretty good going for a first round, and hopefully we can grow it and you guys are enjoying it.
Yeah, guys, we are new to this. We are following the rule book of the WSL as a pretty successful media platform. But yeah, any feedback is always appreciated. So what we're going to do, guys, is we're just going to kind of do a quick recap on the event. It's not going to be like one of our normal virtual tours where we go through each round. We're just going to talk about the things that we liked, the things that we thought could have been done a little bit better. And also, yeah, run through the fantasy and how it works and how it all happened.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. And yeah, I'll kick off with some highlights. I mean, competition was back. It's been 19 months since the last contest. We had, I think was the Dam X, or was it Silt? One of the two. Before, obviously, COVID hit.
Silt, I think.
Yeah, probably Silt. And then, so it's been a long time. And it was really cool to see a lot of the riders back. A lot of them been training, obviously. A lot of new faces that caused some big upsets. And that's why I was really excited to sit down and watch the event, is to see where everyone was at and see what was going to unfold. Because fortunately, they got a full tow-in contest done, and more importantly, got the full single and double elimination done, which was, I mean, a miracle looking at the forecast at the start of the event. I'm gutted I picked my fantasy team off tow-in and our podcast guests, because I didn't do very well as a result of it.
Yeah, it was funny, like, been speaking to Sandy Clunas quite a bit recently. First of all, just want to give him and also all the boys in the EFPT, in the judging team, the media team, and Adam Sims for organising Sandy in the commentary booth. Well, it was an amazing, really, really professional event, and thoroughly enjoyed every part of it. And yeah, looking at the forecast, it looked like it was going to be a pretty perfect event window. We were going to get the first 2 days of wind, knock out single, knock out the double, and then have some tow-in. And I mean, you've never been to Podersdorf. I have. There's quite a good party scene.
Yeah, well, I think it was in Noodlesee or whatever,
yeah,
however you pronounce
all,
it.
It's all on the same thing. Lake. You can get to the same place. It's always... The Austrians know how to throw a party.
Yeah.
So I think everyone was hoping that they'd knock out all the competition and then, you know, have a few drinks. It didn't happen that way, but at the end of the day, we did get through all of the event and the tow-in, which was super, super cool. And as you said, some big upsets, which I'm looking forward to talking about.
Yeah. So, well, talking about big upsets, Kiri losing to Valentin Bockler. And, I mean, I don't think anyone really saw this happening. The 2013 world champion being knocked out to Valentin, who has always been a pretty solid competition windsurfer, but never really scored massive results like this, I don't think. So that was really cool to come back and see. And I think Kiri actually lost it on just not being diverse enough on, I think, maybe Port Tack, I can't really remember. I think he got a diversity fine, which is why Valentin actually went and took it, which was really, really cool to see. And that was really epic. And then pretty much right at the start as well was Lucas Nibelung taking down the man mountain that is Tati France. That was a massive upset. I'm not sure anyone saw that coming.
Dunno, like we've seen in the fantasy, Nibelung's getting, I mean, he's getting the love. People can see the talent that he's got. So that wasn't as much of a surprise, even though it was against Tati. But yeah, Valentin, I thought that was amazing. The guy was filming the whole event as well.
Yeah, in his wets.
coming off heats, jumping straight back out there with the camera, and got a good result in both the actual event and the tow-in. So yeah, I thought that was amazing to see the German rider smashing it out and scoring some big results. Obviously, the people that everyone have been talking about as kind of the, not sure if you call them the riders of the round or of the event, but certainly the refreshing thing to see was Leonard and Pisani storming through. Both of them got taken down kind of midway through, or Leonard got taken down quite early and Pisani made it to the quarters. But both of them taken down by big names. Pisani was taken out by Amado. Yeah. And Leonard was taken out by Bosson in the single elimination, and then came back on an absolute mad one in the double. He took down Joop Schmidt. He also took down Sam Esteve, which was pretty impressive to watch that, before Pisani managed to take him down and make his bid for the finals.
Yeah, made it all the way up to fourth place. I think he sailed 5 heats in total, 1-4, and just got knocked out by Yentl. And watching that heat, it like the commentators said, it just looked like he'd run out of juice, because they didn't have a lot of gaps between the two heats between each other. So he'd have like a 3-minute break. And windsurfing like that, full power in heat mode, is pretty full on for 4 heats in a row with a 2 or 3 minute break. So he did incredibly well to get up, and then only being knocked down by the freestyle, European freestyle and world freestyle champions in Yentl Kers. So that was a really, really cool performance to see from Pisani. Lennart again as well, storming through that double, only being beaten by Pisani, which was again really cool to see that. Everyone's been hyping him up as the next big thing. He's going to be a world champion. And a lot of people were worried that he was going to have a lot of pressure on his shoulders and see how he'd perform. And with that early-ish exit in the single, everyone was a bit on edge. Like, ooh, is he going to do all right? Is he a bit flustered? But no, he came back with a bang in the double and really, really took down some big names, as he said, of Sam Esteve.
And Joop.
And Joop is a massive achievement. And I was loving the spot Konos he was doing. That was really cool. Mm. Pretty consistently, every heat, he just seemed like he was had a routine and he would just go through it. And most of the time, he was nailing all the moves in really, really difficult conditions. If you think about spot Kono, that's a really difficult combination. And in the light wind, I'm not sure, he's probably on 4.8 because he's a bit smaller than the other riders. And he was banging them out.
I was really impressed to see him take down a Bonaire local in those conditions. Obviously, Joop and Sam are amazing, amazing talents, and to beat them in any conditions is very impressive. But taking down a Bonairean like Joop Schmidt in gusty 5.2, 4.8 weather, big ups to Leonard. And whilst we're on the subject, absolutely killed it in the tow-in.
We must be fortune tellers, having him on the podcast, talking about the tow-in. And, well, he was telling us on that podcast, if you haven't listened to it, go and have a listen, because it's well worth a listen. But he was telling us all about how he's actually been training for it. Him and Stan Pro over in Naxos, they've got the winch, they've got the car. He's the only one, I think, that's really actively been training tow-in, because he's just so motivated and stoked on windsurfing. Mm. And it really, really showed throughout the contest. It never looked like he was going to lose that whole tow-in competition at all. And he did super well. Even though he won on that last move of the event, it was really, really cool to see with that Skopu. Super impressed, and it was refreshing and cool to see someone who's trained for something actually performing above the rest. And it would be really nice if someone, if someone other than Lennart was training Toen. And that was kind of moving on to one of our lowlights, was like the level of Toen was not really very good, if I'm being brutally honest. I know the guys, as we said before, don't train it. Some of them don't like it. But it wasn't really much of a show.
Yeah, look, I think the Toen, it has a lot of difficulties, as we discussed in the interview with Lennart. I think something that I was, I wouldn't use the word disappointed, but something that I didn't like so much in watching the Toen show in this event was how big the fleet was. Now, again, I don't want to keep harping on about it, but we spoke about this with Lennart in our interview, and all three of us were in agreement, himself included, that a small fleet is key to keeping the hype and the intrigue around turn, because the moves are very similar. Now, I completely understand where the EFPT were trying to aim this. They were running the first event of the year. They wanted as many people competing in as much as possible. They wanted to run an event. So it's not a criticism of them as a governing body at all. But I do feel like when I'm watching a Toen show, I want to watch 5 to 8 riders, really, who have been pre-selected, whether that is by trials or just by prior results. And I want to see them really pushing different elements of what can be done towing in on a windsurf.
Yeah.
If you have too many people doing it, it does become very much the same. It was nice to see them using the wake, but it was air funnels, burners, one-handed burners. It was the same move all the time. And again, I think that the way that it was judged as a show, I disagreed with. Because there was the Amados air funnel into burner.
Yeah, super technical move that is like off that chop, well, off the boat wake into like doing the biggest air funnel and then bouncing into a really, really clean burner afterwards is a super, super technical thing to do. And it showed because no one else was doing it.
I've never seen it.
Yeah.
Off a boat wake.
Yeah.
To land the air funnel and bounce into a burner, I can't remember seeing it. I've just seen since the boat wake double air moves.
Yeah.
I was disappointed to see that scored the way it was scored. I think it could have been scored a bit higher, a bit more competitively.
Yeah, it was an 8, but it for sure it could have competed with the others because it was they were focusing on the landings, the clean landings, which I completely understand because otherwise you just throw yourself around anything and you could claim a score. But, for example, I thought Sam Esteve was really, really pushing the double air burner like no one else. And I thought that didn't get as much love as it should have compared to, for example, Tati doing a one-handed burner, which we all know that he could probably do in his sleep. And there was a lot of hype in the commentary and then in the scores about this one-handed burner, which, let's be real, I think most of the fleet, especially the top 4 or 5 or 6 could probably do pretty comfortably, whereas Sam was doing these big double air burners, not landing them really cleanly, and sometimes having some big crashes. But that's the progression. That's where the sport needs to go, I think, in my opinion. Instead of just doing the same old one-handed burners to get a score, we want to see people being rewarded for these big double air moves. In my opinion, or at least getting a little bit more love for trying them instead of being a bit upset that they crashed it and didn't land it super clean.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it is a competition. You got to land your move, and it's always been a factor in windsurf competition. The cleaner you land it, the higher your score. But in the PWA scoring system, you lose an increment of 0.5 point or 1 point or gain points for how clean you land the move. There should still be a base score for the difficulty of the move and then a very small increment that changes depending on how clean it's landed.
Yeah.
I think that's a lot fairer because, yeah, we want to see people pushing it and I want to see some big stuff get thrown down.
Yeah, for sure. Because that's what we... If it's going to be judged as a show as well, the people that are trying to put on a show and going for these big moves should be rewarded instead of playing it not safe, but playing it pretty simple and doing the one-handed burners and the burners and all the stuff that these guys at the level that they are should be able to land, especially at the top. But yeah, talking of Toen, one of my lowlights of the competition was Dieter being injured. That was gutting. He's in my fantasy team. And we hope you get well soon, Dieter. You're one of our favourite riders, and it was a pleasure to have you on our podcast. But yeah, that really was really sad, losing a lot of points there for me.
Yeah, I think you're a bit gutted because of the fantasy, but I mean, we all know it. If you've ever gone behind a jet ski or a boat on your windsurf gear, it's scary, it's dangerous, and I've seen some awful crashes. Marco Vedle at the UKWA breaking the nose of his board, going straight back out on, I can't remember, I'm going to say it was one of the Franz brothers. Someone lent him a board and he went out and did exactly the same thing, rail trip into the sandbar on the nose. You can spank yourself on the towing setup. It's no joke. It does hurt, and it was a real shame to see Dieter injured, and hopefully he can make a full recovery, compete on the tour this year. Hopefully, fingers crossed for the PWA. Want to see what he's got in the waves and in the freestyle, because when he was on the podcast, he was saying he's actually focusing a bit more on the freestyle again. Yeah, I mean, obviously, it's always a shame when someone gets injured. So, all the best, Dieter. Come back strong, and we look forward to seeing you in competition soon.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, have you got any more highlights, Sam?
Yeah, I really enjoyed the live stream, to be honest. As I said before, like, a huge shout out to Sandy and to Simsy. I think they both did a really good job commentating, especially kind of been easy for Simsy, Adam, doing it whilst you're also running the event.
Well, and also controlling all the cameras. I think he was in the van that they were in. Sandy was doing a lot of the commentary, and then he's picking which camera to show on the live stream while also commentating is a pretty epic feat to achieve.
Yeah.
If you get bored, mate, doing that, being too busy, you know, commentary jobs, I'd love one if you want one. If you've got too many things on your hand. But no, honestly, really good job to both of those boys. And for me personally, I was watching a lot of the live stream day one and two. And the interviews between, not a lot of action going on, I thought was a really cool thing to do. Getting a little bit of insight onto what the guys have been doing in the winter, their plans for the future, their ambitions for the season. I thought that was a really nice touch. And again, as you said, professionally done, worked in really smoothly.
Yeah, just again, following the WSL format, the pre-show every day with Sandy, the pre-recorded interviews. I thought there was, it was really refreshing to see a windsurfing event run in that way. And I thought the live stream was absolutely amazing. Was a bit of a shame that it wasn't running from the very start. I actually don't have any insight as to why that was. I assume it was too difficult, otherwise I would have done it. But once it was up and running with the commentary, I thought it was really professionally done. And I've got to give the boys a hand for their effort on the second day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the 8 hours.
The last day.
The 8 hours of constant recording.
Eight and a half hours. I've got the inside scoop that minutes before the first heat, the live stream actually failed, and they managed to set up their backup live stream and get that up and running after only missing one heat, and then went 8.5 hours straight. So big ups to the boys for that, because that is one hell of a job, starting as stressed as they all must have been and delivering a really, really good product. So I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, I completely agree.
If you go right to the end of the live stream, you hear a funny little insight from Sandy after they say goodbye. Not going to quote him, but if you can be bothered to do it, go right to the very end after they say goodbye and you'll get a giggle out of it.
Yeah. As you said, though, I thought the whole thing was done incredibly well. For me, I was day one, I was a bit on edge, because they were saying that they weren't going to start the broadcast until the top 16, which was basically missing the whole first round, which is when we had all those upsets. But they ended up running it anyway, thank God, and we got to see the rest of the heats commentated, which I thought was a really nice touch. So they really rescued that, and it was a very good event. One thing I would love to see, not a criticism, but one that we could have in the future, would be a heat clock on the live stream so that we could see what the position is in the heat so that we kind of get an idea of what's going on and when, instead of, oh, it's over and that's it. But a very minor thing there.
Yeah, I fully agree. I didn't get to watch as much of it live as I would have liked. I've gone back and watched quite a lot of it since. But whilst I was working, I kept trying to open my phone and look at it, and it was it wasn't frustrating, but it would have been nice just to open my phone, see how far through the heat we were, See the scores up on the screen. Again, keep harping on, but the WSL, you open it up and you can see where you're at. You know how much longer is left in the heat, you know where the scores are. It's a very minor thing, but I think it would lead to a better broadcast.
Yeah, I'm sure it's just teething problems for the first event, and I'm sure they'll sort it out with 9 events planned for the rest of the season, which is an unbelievable thing if they all go ahead.
Yeah. And it's the first time that this team has run events, and we're running it in a pandemic.
Yeah,
and there haven't been any events for a year and a half, so
full power. But yeah, I've got a couple more highlights. The rookies camp, I thought, really good idea. Getting these young guys into the sport, bit of talk about freestyle and how to sail the heats. And especially having Yentl come on the second day, that must have been epic.
Yeah.
And JP giving away a board, really cool to see the brands getting involved. And if there are any brands listening and you want to give away something for the winner of our fantasy league, then be sure to send us a message. We'd be more than happy to give away something.
Yeah, guys, you can hit us on the Instagram or the supergustypodcast@gmail.com for any inquiries. We are running prizes. We've already got some support from Unifiber, from Sun God. So some amazing prizes coming out. Be great if anyone else is interested in getting involved.
Yeah, absolutely. And on the rookies, the young guys in the events, so a lot of those Tier C guys in the fantasy surfings, if you know what I'm talking about, a lot of them, their first ever contest, it was really, really cool, I think, to get those guys involved and them get some event experience and also be coached by some of the best athletes in the world. I know, like, it certainly inspired me to want to go to this Weymouth event if it happens in the UK because, you know, it seems like a very open and happy place to be, and all including, which I think is really important for the future to grow the sport.
It's tough, like, coming onto the scene as a PWA bench warmer like myself. You burst on the scene, you know that you're at the bottom of the pile. You're not coming on like Leonard or Hugo or someone like that who's just destined for greatness. And the guys are super friendly and they're always there to help, but it's hard. You go on, you're competing on the world stage, and it's not easy. So I think that having a little program to help these guys develop and to teach them how to sell heats and everything is super forward thinking, and it's nice to see. And JP have always been good at supporting up and coming riders.
Absolutely.
Back when I was coming up as a kid, I remember the Starboard Kids team with all the Bonaire guys, but also the JP boys like pushing super hard with the Young Gun camps. And it's always good to see encouraging young people into the sport of freestyle. On the young riders, I would like to give a big shout out to Bob Cook from the UK. So my first introduction to Bob Cook, I think he follows me on Instagram. I've seen his name on my Instagram a few times, Bob the Cock. But my first introduction was watching his interview with Sandy, where he was a little, shall we say, a little bit overexcited.
Yeah.
You know, he was a bit of a potty mouth, as Sandy said. But he was just true stoke, and he was loving it. I've spoken to Sandy post-event about him a little bit, and Bob was apparently a bit of a legend around the event site. One of the drones went in the water straight after one of his heats. He just dived in, was swimming around in that lake, which it's not the warmest lake in the world, I'll tell you that for free. And he was swimming around for an hour looking for this drone. So great to see an up-and-coming rider from the UK. And all of those guys competing for the first time and getting their name on the scene was amazing.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. And on that note is content for the riders. I thought the media coverage, obviously we talked about the live stream, but the photos and stuff, it seems like all the riders are being given all this content, which means that even if you aren't able to watch the event, you can kind of follow it by following your favourite riders, and you can get to see snippets of their best moments and their insight into it, which I thought is a really cool thing to do, because as a windsurfer, it's quite hard to get your girlfriend to sit on the beach and film you. So
it's very difficult. So many bottles of Prosecco involved in that.
So it's cool that the guys are creating content for the riders, which also helps them develop their careers. I thought that was a really nice touch.
No, 100%. I think that's a really good point. Personally, I was one of those people. As I said, I was working long days at the time, trying to like just get snippets of what was going on. And I was going back and I was looking at what had happened in the day at the end of the day. But a lot of the information I was getting whilst the event was running was actually from my Instagram.
Yeah.
Watching people's stories, like when they posted, oh, I've gone through a heat. I thought the jerseys were really cool. I thought the rider photos looked really professional. I think all of that, it's moving in the right direction, and it added a little bit of an element of professionalism to the whole thing, and I thought it looked really good, and I was quite impressed with it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, I'm out of highlights and lowlights there. Have you?
I'm not. I want to talk about the top three.
Okay.
Don't we all want to talk about the top three?
Yeah, go
okay.
On,
so, it's not a top three that we're unused to seeing.
Mm-hmm.
We had in first place Amado Vreeswijk, really staking his claim. He's on a new board this year, and he's come back. He's struck the first punch against Yentl and against the rest of the fleet, and gone, I'm here to be world champion and European champion this year, which was really cool. My upset of the round was Tester not winning.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie. I thought, look, Amado's a competition machine. He's a brilliant sailor. He's got good style. I can't fault him in any way. I really felt watching the double, especially watching it for the second time the last few heats, watching Tester come through those regular chatches, he was just knocking
every
them
time
out willy-nilly, so stylish. I wanted him to be the winner.
Well, it was that super final, wasn't it? The second final when they made it 15 minutes long and Amado landed that culo in the last 20 seconds of the heat, which won it.
Yeah.
So I think he got very lucky that it got made 15 minutes, because Tester, again, as you said, was on fire. But we are used to Amado winning. But it was cool to see on the new board. Tati obviously didn't quite get along with it as well. I don't know if it was to do with the board or he was just a bit rusty. But Amado really staking a claim on the board, the Tomado. And as Sandy kept mentioning, it was a very good-looking board.
It is a good-looking board. I think a lot of the kit's looking very sexy. I've just got my new Severn gear in the last couple of weeks, and that white looks
super clean,
beautiful. I thought the top three was really interesting. Obviously, Bosson just sat outside. Good to see him in the top four.
I think he came fifth actually with
in the end, yes.
Pisani,
sorry, I apologise. Pisani did get him on the end of the double. So yeah, really, really cool to see. But great to see Tester back competing.
Yep.
And second place, a very close second place as well. So
it will be interesting for the rest of the season whether. It was another thing I loved actually was that all the riders in their interviews were like, I want to do as many competitions as I can and I want to push my level as hard as I can. And the fact that all these top riders are going to potentially be entering these European events, which not many of them enter all of them. I think that's a really cool sign for the future that the tour is, on the EFPT especially, is bright. And we have a high level which will be pushing the rest of the riders as well.
Yeah, so just before we skip to our ad break from our main sponsor at the moment and jump into a little bit about the fantasy. Obviously, as you just said, we had a lot of the big names in this event. Mm-hmm. There were very few key players missing. We had the unfortunate lack of an appearance from Marco Lufen.
Yeah.
Due to a gear sponsor change.
Yeah. JP Neil Pride now.
Yeah, which is really cool to see him on them after a long time at Fnatic North, Fnatic Duotone.
Yeah.
So it's a shame not to see him there because by all reports from the guys in Cape Town, he's on fire at the moment.
It was basically on the lake. It was me, Flo, who's obviously the judge for the EFPT, Luffy and Zinzi, and Marco's sailing good.
Yeah,
he's got that massive future, like, on lock every
Pasco's
time. Pasco's
out the roof.
Yeah.
So it was a shame not to see him there. Obviously, the big name missing is Galito. With the new gear change, lot of winging videos, but my God, whenever he posts a freestyle video, he is smashing it.
So yeah, so I have a story to tell you about that, because he rocked up to Cape Town and no one knew he was there. The first day he just rocked up and it was a pretty average day, and we're looking at Big Bay and no one was out. Our friend Matt Dono went out by himself, and all of a sudden this guy just rocks upwind of us on RRD gear and just pulls out the plating forward, and we're like, oh, who's this guy? He's pretty good. And then goes second run, comes in, does a massive burner 360, rocks out and does a Pasco, and we're like, is that Galito? And we're like, and it was Ollie and me and Tom, and he was like, Ollie's like, no, I don't think that's Galito. No, he's not here. He's not coming this year. And then he pulls out this massive, super clean, planing, shifty shaker, and I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's Galito. No one else does that. And he was on fire out there. Literally was out for half an hour. Pretty sure they got all of their RRD video clips in that half an hour, because he just was not dropping anything. Didn't get his hair wet. So he is on top form. The new gear is working really good for him, for sure. So it was a shame not to see him. And Anthony Runes, I would love to see him there.
Yeah, he wasn't there as well.
So yeah, it's a difficult. I'm not sure why they didn't come. Maybe travel reasons. But it would be cool to hopefully see them in Italy at the next DFPT event. Or
at the first PWA.
PWA, which I think is still Fuerte for now, isn't it?
As far as I've been made aware, it is still the first list on the provisional calendar. And fingers crossed, obviously this is an event about the EFPT. A podcast about the EFPT, but we would love to see the PWA come back. We want to see as much competitive windsurfing as possible this summer. So bring it on.
Fingers crossed. All right, on that note, let's go to an ad break from our sponsors, Sun God. A massive thanks to Sun God for supporting the Super Gusty Fantasy Windsurf League. Sun God are an amazing custom sunnies brand providing performance engineered sunglasses and goggles. Their products are made out of the finest materials, which means they are made to last. You can only buy them directly from the company, meaning no middlemen, which makes them unbelievable value for money. And most importantly, they're great for the planet, as Sun God provide an unrivaled guarantee. This means you can break them and they will repair them for free, meaning you'll never have to throw them away. To go get yourself a pair, head over to www.sungod.co and onto the fantasy.
Okay, so big thank you to Sun God for supplying a free pair of sunglasses for the winner of the overall. Mm-hmm. Our main sponsor at the moment. Big ups to the guys at Sun God. Life looks better.
It does. 8K, they've got the new 8K, so I'm looking forward to getting a pair of those.
Yeah, I've got some nice biking glasses coming out for my summer. I'm really looking forward to trying those new lenses out. So, currently, who's winning, George? Talk to us about the fantasy.
So, I'll give you the top five. In first place at the moment, we have Simon Gallo with a 25-point lead so far. Really good result for him. Second is Will Nichols, Wild Wind instructor from next door to us.
Yeah, he did well.
He did very well in this one. Third is Sarah Jackson, a former Club Vass employee, now I think working for the international marketing team of Fanatic Duotone. She's obviously got some good insight.
Yeah, she did really well, and great to see her up there in third place.
Yeah, yeah. Fourth, Powell, one of the Polish crew. Good result. And Esri, who I think is out in Bonaire at the moment, coming in fifth, which is a good result. And we'll give a little shout out for our man, Jamie Howard, coming in sixth. Good effort, mate.
Took some time off learning how to change plugs and managed to almost come in the top five.
Yeah.
Beat both of us. I did okay, you did awful.
I did dreadful. I picked my team on the basis that people who do our podcast and come on as guests on our podcast will do well in the fantasy. And unfortunately, Dito, being injured, didn't do me any favours, as I mentioned earlier. But we move on. It's okay. There's plenty of rounds. There's plenty of rounds to come back. I'm going to make the comeback. But yeah, so that's our top five. I'll give you Simon's team, the winning team for this this round, which was Yentl as his power surfer. Pretty safe bet, that.
Yeah, I had Yentl.
Yeah, and Amado as his second tier A surfer, which, let's be honest, well, I'll tell you, more than 75% had those two as their tier A surfers. So
I had Testa. I'm surprised I didn't do better, but I did have the Yentl as my power surfer.
No, Testa was tier B, so you're alright.
Ah.
But yeah, you had Yoop.
Ah. Yeah, my fanboy love for Yoop must have got in the way there.
Yeah. So Simon had Yentl Power, Amado as a second tier A. Then he had Testa, Pisani, Esteve and Lennart, which is a pretty solid tier B. There were a few pretty key people you want to have in your team in tier B.
Yeah, I think tier B was very similar for a lot of people, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, there was a few people fanboying their favourite windsurfers from their local spot, but the majority had those 5-6 people who were kind of the top seeded in that category. And then he had Paul Simrel in tier C, who's a pretty consistent, solid windsurfer.
Did really well, yeah.
Yeah, he did well in the event. And Tim Gerdes, who was the highest scoring Tier C windsurfer, with a really good score for a young guy who's not got much experience, did very, very well.
Mm.
So yeah, that was the team of Simon. So well done, Simon. You are leading the round, and you are leading the charge to those Sun God sunglasses. But yeah, for the guys, I'll just give a little insight to how the scoring works, because obviously we didn't explain it on the Instagram. It's a little bit complicated and there was a little bit last minute issues with getting the scores, but we've got them and we've got the result. So how it's all calculated is everyone's average heat score over the round counts towards your points. But then more importantly, the higher you do in the contest, so if you come first, you get the most points, second, you get the second most points. The better you do, the more points you're going to receive. So, for example, Amado won with 50 points, so he gets 50. Second was Testa, got 45. Then it was Yentl who got 40, and so on. You lose 5 points every time you lose a place. And unfortunately, the guys in 25th get 0. But they still get their average heat score. And then on top of that, their highest scoring tow-in scores also add to your score to give you a final score. So for example, in the qualification tow-in one, Yentl got 8.28, so he gets that score. And then he got 5.91 as his highest score in the final. So his average heat score, his points from his position, and then his tow-in scores count to his overall points. Okay? Pretty complicated, but pretty simple.
Yeah, guys, I'd like to give a shout-out to George here. Sandy and Simsy actually don't think I'm part of the Super Gusty podcast anymore. I am. I'm still here, guys. But yeah, I do have to give a big shout-out to my man George here, because I'm looking at a spreadsheet that looks confusing as fuck right now. And yeah, he's put in a lot of work to make this happen for you guys and got a really cool sponsor. So yeah, right. Big up to George.
It's all good. All for the people. We want to help the sport grow. So this is what we're doing.
This is what we got to do.
Got to go through spreadsheets, but it's cool. But yeah, so that was the fantasy. So well done, and thank you so much for everyone who got involved in the first round. If you didn't and you're listening to this, don't worry. There's still plenty of rounds to go, and there's plenty of time to catch up to win those Sun God sunglasses. So sign up.
Are we going to do discards?
I'm not sure. We'll work that out.
We'll work out whether we're going to do discards.
COVID dependent. If there's COVID,
if there's nine
that cancels,
rounds, I think we should take.
Well, there's 9
out.
EFPT events. There's 2 PWA freestyle events, and we'd also love to branch out into the waves. So maybe we do a separate wave series for the PWA wave events, which would be really cool, and we can test people's wave knowledge, and we can also get some new people involved. So that would be great. But yeah, I'm not sure. Maybe we have some discards. It depends how many events run due to COVID.
We need to have a few more meetings, guys, but we will sort this out.
We'll get to the boardroom and we'll sort this out.
It will all work out. But yeah, if you did miss the first one, or if your friends missed the first one, let them know. If all these events do run, we will offer a couple of discards. So if you miss an event, you will still be in the running.
Yeah.
And we'll make it happen. On that note, guys, we obviously haven't done a podcast since the Vietnam Virtual World Tour, which was run on Instagram by you guys. We're going to post very shortly on the Super Gusty story to see if you guys, now that there are actual events running, are interested in us continuing the Virtual World Tour. And if so, if you'd like to continue doing it where you guys vote, or where we speak about it with a panel of guests and we go through our opinions, because I was pretty disappointed by some of the decisions that was made.
Yeah, we'll release a podcast deciding what, or saying what we thought about
that.
Yeah,
look, I'm just going to pick one heat out. There's no way in hell that Julian Mass would have beaten
Van Octen.
Yeah, Martin Van Octen in Logo High Waves.
The man's got air chat through both sides.
If you don't know who Martin Van Octen is, check out his Instagram, watch some of his old videos. The guy is a machine if you give him a stunt ramp. He's a machine anyway.
Yeah.
I was pretty disappointed by that.
But yeah, I think we'll wrap it up there. For the guys, again, who didn't get involved in the fantasy windsurfing, no problem. It's very simple. Please just send us a DM once we release the tiers of your picks. Then you'll be added to our spreadsheet, and then we'll let you know how you're doing during the event and after the event. It's very, very simple. But yeah, on that note, thank you very much for enduring listening to us again. It's been nice to be back and talking windsurfing, and we will catch you in the next one.
Yeah, guys. Cheers.
Cheers.